You're listening to the New Churches Podcast, a production of Send Network on newchurches.com. We discuss all things church planning. If you're looking to take your next strategic step towards multiplication, you're in the right place. newchurches.com has a new look, a new host, and new resources. Take a minute and check out the Church Planning Masterclass with lessons from leaders like Matt Chandler, D.A. Horton, Trulia Newbell, and more at newchurches.com.
Hey there, welcome back to the New Churches Podcast. My name is Clint Clifton, and today we're going to be joined again by Todd Adkins. Now, Todd is a friend of this podcast. He's been on it for years, way before I got involved. And Todd works over at Lifeway. He's the director of leadership development there. He's responsible for Ministry Grid, which you've certainly heard of. And he's been a pastor in large and small churches, executive pastor, campus pastor, student pastor. He's done it all. Todd is a wealth of information. And today, he and I are going to spend our time talking about building a team from scratch. Now, I know a lot of you out there, church planters, are what we might call parachute planters. You've showed up in a place to plant a church. You believe God's called you to that. And some people maybe are behind you from back home. But when you get where you're going to your ministry field, there's not a whole lot of support and encouragement there. And so we're going to talk about what it takes to build a team from scratch. Before we do that, though, I want to tell you about the Church Planting Masterclass. The Church Planting Masterclass is a course that we've put together over at newchurches.com, and I'm really excited about it. The masterclass is completely free. It's a course offered exclusively at newchurches.com, and it's got some of the best church planting leaders from across the denominational spectrum. You can hear from trusted voices like Matt Chandler and David Platt and Trillia Newbell and Ed Stetzer and Dahati Lewis and on and on and on. With more than 80 short video sessions, the masterclass is a comprehensive overview, and it's not too weighty. It's going to be like watching a bunch of TED Talks. You're going to get some compact information really quick, and it's going to be super useful and practical for you. So check out the Church Planning Masterclass. It's totally free over at newchurches.com. Now let's get into this conversation with Todd Adkins. Hey, Todd, some church planters do what we call parachute planting. I'm sure you've heard of this, but they basically drop into a community that they haven't lived in prior. And often this is in a huge city, a mega city, New York City or Boston or Washington, D.C. or San Diego or Los Angeles. And they move from Alabama or Memphis or some other part of the country, and they descend on this huge urban city, and they get themselves an apartment, and they start doing ministry. And all of a sudden, they find themselves in need of recruiting new people, but they don't know the context. They don't really know anything. And, you know, the part of me is tempted to be critical of that person. And if I were to talk to them ahead of time, I'd say, don't do that. That's not a good way to plant a church. It's not likely to be successful. I would say the odds of you succeeding in that situation are pretty low. However, a lot of people do that nonetheless. So I wanted to say, for those who do that, those who find themselves in a context they're not familiar with starting a church from scratch, let's give them some leadership hacks, some things that might be good to help them in that situation. So I know that you have spent a lot of time thinking about leadership and particularly how to compel people toward gospel work. So I wonder what comes to your mind when you think about somebody finding themselves in a context like that.
I think people, it goes back to, and I don't know, it was Howard Hendricks or Stanley or who it was, but people will follow you if you're uncertain. They won't follow you if you're unclear.
Yeah.
So it is, hey, you don't have to have it all figured out, but you at least need to have kind of a compelling vision for the future and have a place for them in it. Now, very quickly, you need to be able to say, hey, this is where we are going and this is where you fit in. Very quickly, you had better, you know, if you're asking someone to journey with you, there's gonna come a decision point. And at that decision point where you're asking them, you know, to take on a role or a specific commitment, you need to have documented clarity. Meaning, part of what I do is still, you know, I'm with churches and pastors almost daily. The pipeline thing that we do, we've done with over 7,000 church leaders. And so that's at least a 2-day process. And so I can tell you, you'd be shocked, or at least I am, at how many of those church leaders don't have job descriptions or role descriptions for all their volunteers. And so, you know, going back to not wasting people's time, one of the ways that you can get a win almost immediately is by doing something as simple as having a role description in place. It doesn't have to be extensive. It can just be a one pager. But what you avoid here is the volunteer overcommitting, and coming back to you and saying, "Hey, I didn't realize what this was," because you didn't realize what it was either. But having these things thought through is really helpful, because then you can also clarify, like, you know, hey, what does a win look like in this situation?
Yeah.
They know that full commitment that they're making. They understand what they're kind of getting into. But a big thing this brings that should not ever be underestimated, this is probably the number one thing that we often overlook as church leaders, and that is it builds confidence. Because you've provided me with clarity. I know what I'm getting into versus, hey, I ask you to do something. I tell you anybody can do it or whatever, or I tell you, oh, you know, there's not training, just show up or whatever it is. And they don't have confidence they do it. Training really does two things in equal parts. Good training, in my opinion. And that is, yes, it gives you competence, but half of it is confidence. Because most of what you're going to get, most of that competency really, truly is going to be developed on the job, and it's going to be part of the experience. And if early on I'm able to do this with our with the people I'm bringing in church planting and saying, oh, here's what this looks like, and here's part of the expectations is that you're going to do this with others. It kind of goes back to what we were talking about before in sharing the burden. You can't do that unless you have clearly asked someone to do that, but you've also done it with them. You've emulated it, you've modeled it, and now they're able to go and do that too.
So, yeah.
No, that was a little bonus part of that question, but
You're reminding me of a book recommendation here. I read a book a few years ago by Chip and Dan Heath called Made to Stick. And it's, it's a book about why some ideas are what they call sticky and some ideas are not. Some ideas are compelling and they lock in your mind. Yeah.
You got something. We're going to get into Chip and Dan Heath books, because have you read The Power of Moments?
I have not read that one.
Oh my gosh. Come on, man.
Oh, I'll have to get there. I'm a few years behind. That was a 2007 or 17 book, I think.
So Power of Moments is that, you know, you think about, there are definitely significant moments in our lives. And many of them, it's not this, you know, grand, great experience. Most of our, even our testimonies, and if we think back of the men and women that made us who we are today, a lot of it happened, you know, of course, in the context of a relationship, but it was usually a relationship that was helping us move forward in the same direction over time. But it wasn't like, I don't know.
It wasn't a sum of a whole bunch of different events.
No, it was a moment. And so Power of Moments is talking about, hey, if you're, a lot of these things kind of happen, they just kind of happen serendipitously, but what if you're really intentional about creating moments? And so for you as a church planter that's feeling isolated, that's feeling like, oh, I parachuted in and I've got to, you know, recruit people, you know, you don't want to just recruit anybody that can fog a mirror and get really desperate. You want to think about the type of people you want to recruit, but think about the way that you want that to happen. And then I would say, from a Power of Moments piece, think about, how do I intentionally, you know, make this a moment as much as possible that will be something that, you know, kind of they remember and is super compelling.
Yeah, it's so funny, Todd, that you say that, because like I had basically two ideas in my mind about this subject that I really wanted to push forward. One of them, was the idea of having job descriptions for every person that you tried to recruit early on, which you went to ahead of time. And we didn't even talk about that prior, which I think that's brilliant. And the other one idea was in essence the moment idea, and I'll explain it like this. Like I call it when I talk about this, I call it the big ask. You know, it's kind of making sure that we ask many church planters when they ask somebody to be on their team or to play some kind of role, they do it in a safe and sort of lighthearted, flippant sort of way, almost joking, and the person who receives it isn't quite sure if they're serious or not. So they say something like, "Hey, I'm planning a church. You should come join me," you know, or something like that. Something really kind of, you know, just that brushes it. But I think the more appropriate way and the more effective way, and I would say the church that I planted has essentially been built on these kinds of conversations, is for me to say to you, Todd, if I wanted to recruit you to go and be on a church planting team with me, I'd probably have some interaction with you that goes like, I'd probably send you a text ahead of time and say, "Hey, Todd, I have something that I want to talk to you about. It's kind of serious. I wonder if we could meet face to face." You know, that kind of indicates to you like, okay, this is not a run of the mill passing thing. And then when we sit down and we finally do get a chance to talk, I'm going to say, "Hey, Todd, you know, I'm planting this new church and I'm so optimistic about how things are going to go. And I'm so excited about the team we have forming together. And the truth is, I want our church to be excellent when it comes to leadership. We're at this place and we're going to get an opportunity to train these great leaders. And, you know, when I think about leadership and leadership development, I think of you. Like, you are so good at that. And every time I think about this church and what I want it to be in leadership development, I think about principles and ideas that you've taught me. And I know that it's kind of a long shot and it's a Hail Mary and it's a little crazy, but I can't imagine anybody better than you to be with me on my team leading. And if you would pray and seek the Lord about if he would want you to come and join me in this church planting team, I know it means saying no to a lot of other things that are important to you, but I know that if the Lord's calling you to this, if he's calling me to this, he's calling other people to it. And I'm wondering if it might be that the Lord's calling you to be a part of this with me. So I don't have a lot to give you, a lot to offer you, but I do want to offer you a seat at the table because I think you're the very best and I want you to be a part of this." And that kind of ask is heavy and it's compelling, and they may immediately in their minds say, "Oh, I don't think I could do that," you know, but they're at least going to give it serious consideration because of the way you just described it to them and asked them.
Yes. Yeah.
And that's a moment. I mean, I just that kind of conversation creates a moment that they will not forget.
So, man, we should do something like, would you be willing in the future to do a book breakdown? And if you don't want to do it, I guess you're going to edit this out. But like, we should do a book breakdown of power moments and what it would mean for church planters. Because there's four kinds of moments that they outline: elevation, insight, pride, and connection. And the best moments, if you want to create a moment, it's just a combination of those two things. Elevation is creating an experience that just blows you away. Like, you just didn't expect this. This is what Catalyst did really well.
Yeah.
Insight is of course, helping people understand. It almost shatters or rewrites the way that they understand, you know, themselves and the world, or themselves and this thing that they're, you know, being asked to be a part of. Pride is where, you know, you just talked about how you would ask, you know, and you not puff the person up, you know, too much, but it's capturing a moment when they achieve something, you know, impressive, or have courage, or, you know, do something that's extraordinary.
Yeah.
Now, that's not necessarily, that's something that you know, kind of could celebrate from stage after you got started. But then connection is the last one, and that's how you're experiencing, you know, this thing together and as part of a group and part of a, you know, band of brothers kind of thing.
Yeah. No, I'd love to do that. Maybe we could see if we get old Chip and Dan to join us for that. we'll shoot for the stars. So yeah, that's a great idea. And I'm looking forward to digging into that book now. I'll be hitting that on my Amazon wish list as soon as we get off here. So when you're going to go to a place and start something from scratch, you find yourself as a parachute planter in a mission field that you're not familiar with. You know, you do need to do all those things the church planting gurus tell you. You need to learn your context, and you need to be out in the community a lot. You need to volunteer, you need to serve, but But it's not just the volume of impressions you're making. You can talk to a lot of people and not make much effect. You've got it's the quality of your interactions with people that make a huge difference. And so considering how it is that you're addressing people, how it is that you're attempting to win friends and influence people, those are all going to play into how fruitful you are at helping people envision what it would be like to work with you on a regular basis and be a part of this gospel movement that you're there to begin. And so, yeah, Todd, when you are looking out at the church planting landscape and you're thinking about somebody showing up in a setting like that, what are some of the ways in which you could, you know, give them advice if a church planter were to come up to you and say, hey man, I'm new here and I'm having trouble recruiting a team. You know, what sorts of things would you say to them just sort of, you know, intuitively or off the cuff about how to recruit?
I mean, it goes back to, you know, the seek first to understand and then be understood. It goes back to, I would say, just be curious. Like insanely curious. Start your day and week in almost a you need to schedule curiosity into your week. This sounds really jacked up, I know. But by that I mean, hey, I want you to go into the community where you're going to be planting, and I want you to exegete the culture of the community by getting to know, you know, some of the businesses, the restaurateurs, the whatever. But as you go, sure, it's great to just observe and take down some notes. But be really curious about the person,
yeah,
and their business and the community, and do so from a positive posture, not a creepy posture.
Yeah.
I
think what you're saying is, as opposed to going in and sort of selling them on your product or getting them to be, yes, involved in your thing. So, I mean, when you say curiosity, you're saying genuine interest in the dealings of their life and their focuses.
Absolutely. Or Google questions-based selling. If you really want to, yeah. I mean, you know, if you're like, oh, well, I would say you need to come in with a genuine curiosity and care. I mean, far too many times, ministry is something that we do to people, not for people. It seems like, good. And I just would want people to understand, like, I'm genuinely interested in you, your business, and your community, and you'll win. I mean,
yeah,
and especially if you keep showing up, they're gonna look at you with a lot of skepticism.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it used to be that you could get, I don't know, credibility almost in some parts of the country by being a church planter. And now that might actually put you on a bad footing.
Yeah. The thing to know about that is it's deserved. In the community I live in, churches have done such goofy things, and
right,
they have made such bad decisions and been such bad witnesses that it's very reasonable that the civic authorities would not have an interest in dealing with churches anymore.
The other thing I would say is go ahead and get involved in the Chamber of Commerce.
Yeah.
Like, I know that sounds absolutely ridiculous, but do it. I dare you,
yeah,
and see what happens. Be genuinely, yeah, interested in those people. Why? Well, there's multiple reasons. One, some of these people, if you win them over, can bring a lot of people your way.
Yeah.
Two, while they may seem crazy successful in XYZ, they have just as much problems as any other person. And you may be the only pastor that they ever get to know.
Yeah,
and when they have a problem, they may actually, you know, open to you because for the last 7 months, you know, you showed up once a month to the Chamber,
right,
of Commerce meeting on Tuesday morning at 9. Oh, and P.S., next year when you're trying to do something and you run into egress issues,
Yeah.
Or some code issue, guess what?
You know,
we're going to know who to call to get that fixed.
Right, right.
Wow. We're called to be wise as serpents and gentle as doves.
Right. Well, we've been talking about building a team from scratch, and I'm Clint Clifton, and this is Todd Adkins, and we want to thank you for listening today to the New Churches Podcast.
You've been listening to the New Churches Podcast, brought to you by Send Network. If you liked what you heard, take a minute to rate and review us, or share this episode with a friend. It's the best way to show your support. To find more reliable resources and to participate in the Church Planning Masterclass, visit newchurches.com.